are tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Good morning and welcome to WSAU Feedback. I'm Meg Ellefson. Thank you for joining me this morning. My guest is Dr. Joel Walskog. He is now living in Mequon, Wisconsin, raised in West Allis, which is a suburb of Milwaukee. Got his undergrad at Marquette and went on to UWM for medical school. He had his orthopedic surgery residency at the Medical College of Wisconsin in Milwaukee. And a fellowship beyond that in Cleveland, Ohio. Lives in Mequon now with his wife and four children. Was in private practice for about 8 years. Worked for Aurora for the last 11 years. And received the first COVID shot, the Moderna shot, almost a year ago, December 30th of 2020. And his symptoms started about a week later. Dr. Walskog, thank you for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me, Meg.
Well, and I know that it took a bit for us to connect, and I had heard of your story from while watching the hearing that Senator Johnson had. I think it was maybe characterized as a listening session, and it really frustrated me, as I'm sure it frustrated you and Senator Johnson, that despite the fact that he invited all the big pharma execs and a number of people in our federal government to at least listen in and look you and look the other vaccine victims in the eyes, none of them showed up. But I did manage to watch some of it live and saw your testimony, which was very tear-filled, and you know, I'd just like for you to kind of talk about let's start back about a year ago when you decided to take the COVID shot. Was this something that was a requirement by your employer at the time?
Well, at that time, it was not a requirement. It was certainly recommended. But my story starts even a little earlier, back in September of 2020, when I actually had COVID. So everyone in my clinic was getting COVID and was going out ill, and I felt fine, so I kept working. But after pretty much every person in my clinic got COVID, I decided to get antibody levels checked to see if I had been exposed and had really asymptomatic COVID. And to my surprise, my antibodies were positive. So I had COVID and really had no symptoms back in September. Back at that point, you know, I was following what the CDC said, which is even if you had COVID, you're supposed to get the vaccination when it's out, and you're supposed to wait. At that point, it was 3 months. And that's why I waited till December 30th. And on December 30th, I got my first Moderna COVID vaccination, and really the vaccine itself and getting it was uneventful. I mean, I had a little soreness in my arm and so forth, but nothing of significance. But then move forward about a week, I think it was about January 7th, when I woke up from bed and I noted to my wife, I said that my feet are numb. And when I say numb, I mean like pins and needles sensation in my feet. I spoke to a friend of mine who's a spine surgeon, and I thought it maybe my neck, and maybe I had a pinched nerve on my neck. So quickly got an MRI, and really there was nothing new and nothing on my MRI of my neck to account for my symptoms. So I just kind of shrugged my shoulders and said I'd just keep living my life, but I had kind of numb feet. And then moved forward about 3 or 4 days. I was in clinic up in Hartford seeing a patient sitting there in the office, and I remember this very vividly. And I remember trying to get up after speaking to the patient, and I could not stand. So I pushed myself up with my arms, but I quickly just had no control of my legs, and I fell back. And obviously at that point, I knew something more ominous and something more serious was going on, and that's when I moved forward with a much more aggressive and robust evaluation. Got MRIs of my brain, spinal cord, entire spinal cord. I got blood tests. I got a spinal tap, etc. And within a few days after that, I was diagnosed with transverse myelitis. And transverse myelitis involves a demyelinated lesion of my thoracic spinal cord. And so basically some nerve signals can't get by that area of my spinal cord. And I went through some treatment. I took steroids, didn't really help me. I took medicine called IVIG, didn't really help me. And since that time, I've had some persistent, that numbness and tingling that I describe. And my legs have been weak for a long for a while. I was really tripping and falling all the time. My legs, and I just fatigue real easily. I tell people often that I'm kind of like a car with a quarter tank of gas in the morning. And when my tank is empty, my legs are done. And if I try to continue, I would just fall or just collapse. So that's kind of where I'm at. And, time is passed, and some of my symptoms have decreased. Some of my numbness and tingling symptoms have decreased. But unfortunately, the weakness and the lack of endurance or the early fatigue in my legs has really been unchanged since the onset in January of 2021.
So has anyone from Moderna acknowledged that this is indeed what has caused your condition?
No. No one even from no one from Moderna, no one from CDC, NIH, or the FDA has truly acknowledged it. They'll say that, just the temporal relationship, which means, just the temporal relationship does not prove causation, and I get that, but my interaction with the CDC and Moderna has been, I would say, almost bizarre. First of all, Moderna knows about my situation, but they asked for me to fill out some forms, which I did, and then there's been no further contact with them after I did that. With regards to the CDC, their response was somewhat bizarre. I submitted that what's called a VAERS report, which is the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, mm-hmm. immediately after, and I expected to be contacted, like in a day later, in my innocence, because, the transverse myelitis diagnosis is a big deal, because the AstraZeneca trial in the United Kingdom back in 2020 got delayed twice just for three cases of transverse myelitis. But days passed after I reported the VAERS, then weeks passed, and after several weeks, then I myself contacted the CDC and demanded that they speak to me, and they did. We had a very brief email exchange, but they said there's been no basically safety indicators to be worried about in their data.
So, I'm not a doctor, nor do I play one on the radio, so I just always try to make that clear to my listeners. But obviously you are a medical doctor and you've had the opportunity to talk to your colleagues and your friends that are physicians and, perhaps, other physicians that were treating you. Do they have any kind of hypothesis about why this is happening? Because I've watched a lot of videos, I've read a lot of articles about this whole mRNA, messenger RNA technology, and if that is somehow the cause of a lot of these vaccine injuries that are occurring.
Well, I have. A lot of it obviously is speculatory. I wish our government was being more, and the CDC and the FDA was being more in the forefront to try to evaluate these injuries. But, I look at it this way. I look at it from the concept of what's called molecular mimicry. Most of the adverse events are either related to blood clotting, or neurologic problems, or heart problems, or cardiac issues. So molecular mimicry is a concept that I think may apply here in vaccine adverse events. So think of it this way. The COVID virus itself is neurotropic, and neurotropic just means it likes nerve tissue. How do we know that? Well, why do you lose your sense of taste and smell? Okay, those are nerve-related problems. And I think that what most people will say is that, COVID likes nerve tissue, likes linings of blood vessels, likes cardiac tissue. And if you have a vaccine that kind of somewhat simulates or stimulates an immune response to the virus-like, we call antigens in the surface of the virus, unfortunately, the vaccine then can create an immune response that makes a mistake and also attacks our own tissues. The tissues that have similar proteins on the surface, unfortunately, like nerve tissue, blood vessels, and heart tissue.
So I guess what I'm wondering is, let's go back, because I want to, because I know that there are always skeptics out there that say, well, you didn't have any pre-existing conditions that would have, made you more susceptible to this transverse myelitis, did you?
Not whatsoever. Okay. I mean, I'm a healthy 51-year-old person. I am very active. I was regularly exercising. I slalom water ski in the summer. I wakeboard, wake surf. I'm very active. I take a little bit of a cholesterol medicine. I take a baby aspirin a day. I am on a little bit of testosterone doses for low testosterone. That's it. I am otherwise, I would describe as a very healthy 51-year-old person.
Okay, so, and I mean, that is personal information that, you could have said, I wouldn't answer that. But I mean, that this is what we're demonstrating, is that perfectly healthy people with no pre-existing conditions are having this type of reaction. My question is always, and has been from the beginning, is those who have a weakened immune system, or those who have some sort of pre-existing condition, that scares me too, in terms of what this COVID shot could do to their bodies, because their bodies may not be able to react. I mean, you're alive, thank God. I mean, there are some people that, that receive the COVID shot that aren't, that aren't blessed to still be alive.
Yeah, the other thing I would tell you also, Meg, is that sometimes the healthier younger people and the people that were exposed or had COVID before also have a more ramped up immune system. And my concern is that those people may also get more adverse effects. Does that make sense?
So yes, in fact,
you're younger, and this is where I get, I'll talk about children. Children have an extremely robust immune system. And I'm worried that if you stimulate a very, healthy, robust immune system, that may lead to more adverse effects. I also think that, I ask myself I had COVID in September, and my immune system was already ramped up, obviously, from that. Mm-hmm. And is it the vaccine then that took an immune system that was already ramped up and caused it to run haywire, then attack my own nerve tissue?
Mm-hmm. And that was, that was going to be my follow-up question to all of this, is the fact that you have already had COVID, and for the probably the millions of people that maybe were, I even hate to use the term asymptomatic, because I call that healthy, but for those who didn't experience any symptoms and, weren't even aware that they had it, or that they had, had the virus in their systems, could they potentially be more at risk for injuries? And, I guess these are questions that remain unanswered, questions that no one in our media is asking. No one in our federal government is answering. I mean, I don't know where do we go from here in terms of making people more aware of the risks associated with taking the COVID shot?
Yeah, that's a tough one, Meg. And right now, just trying to ask simple questions from the government, from the FDA, CDC, and NIH, you're just labeled as, quote, promoting quote, disinformation or misinformation. And really, that term drives me crazy, because it means nothing. So So I always say, you know, if someone's going to say that I'm a purveyor of misinformation, please be specific and tell me exactly what you disagree with. I, as well as the other people that are vaccine injured, are vaccine injured people. We're real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the data that we will, that data that I talk about is real objective data. I think, you know, it's unfortunate in today's world. I mean, we can't even ask questions. I mean, I view as, you know, to question what we're told is to be American. But right now, we're in a very, very dangerous place, I believe, just because you can't even ask questions without being discredited and not really just, and not just ignored, but actively suppressed.
Yeah.
You know, if you put something online, you know, with your experience, and you know, I'm part of this organization of over 12,000 vaccine injured people called react19.org. And on that organization, I mean, we're actively suppressed, and I mean actively taken down off of different websites just for basically what I would describe as speaking the truth. It's just real people, real data.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up, because that was going to be kind of the end of our conversation. Well, and I just say we've barely scratched the surface, so I want to have you back as much as possible. And if you want someone to put the information out there, I will do everything I can. Of course, I'm going to blog about our conversation and share that, and those we get the most hits on those blogs of any of my guests that talk about the COVID shot or vaccine injured people. So your website is react19.org, and just we have about, you know, I'm running late, I always am, but we have about a minute. So if you can talk a little bit about the organization, and then we'll come back. We'll come back on another day and resume our conversation.
Oh, so react19.org is just something we're forming because we just feel that we need to represent these vaccine injured people because no one else is listening. We feel that, you know, people are just, especially government's not helping. We're not a political organization. We're not red. We're not blue. We call it, we're purple. We're a grassroots organization comprised of vaccine injured patients and medical experts. We're committed to scientific honesty and transparency. We serve to protect the public and provide information to them. We also really are, and our main goal is to provide assistance to the vaccine injured. And we want to be their voice.
Well, God bless you, Joel. I'm so,
you know, and they've just been ignored by our governmental agencies and unfortunately many by the medical community. So that's what we've really spent so much of our time in. And, you know, people are starting to ask more questions. Again, there's a lot of things that's not making sense. I mean, if the vaccine's effective, why is everyone getting COVID that's vaccinated? Why still masks? Why endless boosters? Why do we need a mandate? And if it's safe, why are the pharmacy companies held harmless from responsibility? And frankly, why are the injured being kind of hidden and censored? So I think people are starting to ask questions, but I think we need to continue to really ask our government more questions.
Yeah, if they're so confident in the COVID shot, then why can't they sustain any criticism? Why do they have to sweep it under the rug? Well, Dr. Joel Wolskog, I'm so grateful that you were able to join me this morning. I'm so sorry about your circumstances, but I know when we talked off air, you are looking at the bright side of everything, and you feel blessed because you're alive and you've got wonderful family and friends. And I wish you well, and I want you to keep in touch with me. And anytime you need me to spread the word about what you're doing to get the word out about the vaccine victims, let me know, and I will do so.
Meg, thank you very much for what you do.
Thank you. God bless. Have a great day. I'll talk with you again soon. I'm going to go to a much-needed, much-late break, and we'll go right into the 8:30 news, followed by your calls on WSAU Feedback.